And here we go.
So often people focus on big ass complicated things in weight loss, like cutting out favorite food groups before they even get into the habit of doing the small things that must happen to lose weight. Think about it. Before you buy another gym membership or purchase a damn chalky tasting $400 a month shake program, how about nailing eating when you get hungry? Stopping at enough when you are eating foods you fucking like. Drinking water and getting your sleep, since that's gotta happen no matter what diet you choose. We don't need more bullshit ways to lose weight that are for sure less than ideal for the way we want to live. And creating an ideal day at the start of the summer, well, it allows you to think about your typical day where so much progress and habit formation can happen. You see, we do have vacations and special times. But when you look at the 3 to 4 months of summer, most days are not parties and trips. They are normal, everyday occurrences that we can create a baseline of how we want to ideally show up for ourselves. An ideal day keeps you focused on what you minimally do each day as a baseline for a good day. It's basic enough in structure so that when shit hits the fan, most of your ideal day can still happen. Again, your ideal day isn't about having perfect days. It's about how to take a shitty day and know you've done the basics of still having your goals of a healthy life in the equation. Anytime there's a change in season is a great time to relook at your ideal day. For many of us, the sun is rising a little earlier and setting later. When we revise our ideal day from the mindset of our goals, we decide how we want to spend that time. Maybe you want to hang out with your partner in the evening while the kids play outside. So you're going to adjust your daily food planning to be done before bed versus first thing in the morning, since you need a little extra sleep so that you have plenty of rest and plenty of rejuvenation. If you're like me, I love warm morning walks. I get up, plan my day, and skip the self-development. I want to get outside and enjoy the weather before it's too hot. I do longer miles, talking to my mom and friends on the phone, and I get extra podcasts in that help me learn and grow my mind. What most of us do, though, is never adjust our ideal days, even though life, seasons, and circumstances are changing all around us. We try to force old routines out of fear we can't lose weight instead of adapting our daily routines so we can have more ideal days versus imperfect days. When you don't consciously design your days, little stuff sneaks in. You might stay outside with the kids, but also try to get up at the same time each day. Before you know it, you're behind in your sleep, tired, and finding your ass snacking on shit in the afternoons to compensate. Some people get caught in self-sabotage loops. They assume if they can't do the day perfectly, then they can't do anything. I call this fucking up the day when you have the option to save it. By creating intentional ideal days, you have parameters you've set for yourself that aren't based in perfection. They are based in what you will and can do, knowing the life you want to live with the commitments that you currently have. This is why it's so important to base your ideal day on the reality of your life, and why we've included a page for weekdays, weekends, and vacations. Creating a variety of ideal days helps you see the variety and flexibility in which you can design and live your life. In the next lesson, we'll get into the nitty-gritty on how to deal with specific food choices and decisions at parties and on vacations. But for now, let's focus on the big picture of your days and your circumstances. You'll answer questions like, how do I want to start each day? What do I want my weekdays, weekends, and vacations to look like? We will focus on how to live ideally given your life. And we will focus on what you can control, not all the things that are getting in your way. Remember, we are focusing on what we call minimum baselines inside of No BS. Minimum baselines are the minimum things you plan to do no matter what life throws at you. It's things that even when the shit hits the fan, you know most of the time you will do it because it makes your life better. My minimum baseline for planning when I'm home is every day. I use my No BS planner and I answer all the questions. It's detailed and asks me rock solid food mindset questions so that I'm not left with doubts and insecurities backing up all my food decisions. Now, when I'm traveling for business or on vacation, my minimum baseline changes. My ideal day is to have my food choices made every single day. I don't do a lot of journaling. I take a look at my plans for the day, plan meals around restaurants, room service or Uber Eats that I know about ahead of time, and then just make agreements on the meals. I have no clue what will be on the menu or served to me. I might write down, skip appetizers and dessert if I'm going to a fancy restaurant. My minimum baseline is also going to move each day on vacations and trips. I either hit a gym or the streets and take walks. I don't try to keep up with lifting routines like I would at home. My ideal workouts on the road are more about keeping a daily 20 to 30 minute movement habit going. So don't be afraid to get creative to meet your needs when creating your ideal days. Do you want to plan the whole weekend on Fridays instead of doing it on Saturday and Sunday morning because you like sleeping in? Do you want to do a quickie meal prep every Thursday night because weekends for you are busy and full of friends and family? On vacation, do you sleep in and go to bed when you choose versus having a set structure? It's all up to you and what you want for your lifestyle. I promise planning creates freedom to go live the life you want. Planning isn't about strict rules and taking things away from yourself. It's seeing on paper what you can do for yourself so you can achieve your goals while living in a way you decide is right for you. Spend time thinking of common scenarios you face during the summer and decide now, how do you want to show up? Be realistic. If you are struggling to wake up and plan at 5 a.m. now, then don't keep putting that on your ideal day for summer. Try something new like planning the night before. Don't use unrealistic rules and expectations when creating your ideal day because it will backfire. I want you to see that there are just a few basic things you need to do in order to lose weight. And planning ideal days helps you plug in those little things that equal long-term weight loss success. Now, one more thing I want to add here. So many of us fuck it, eat, and go off the rails on vacation and on weekends because we're forcing ourselves through our daily lives. We try to live by crazy expectations and rules that we've compiled all of our life on how we should live, how we should be, and how we should eat. Summertime magnifies this because most of us have more opportunities to relax. Ideal day planning allows you to create structure and plans from love and how you want to live given a variety of scenarios, like your vacations and your weekends and weekdays. Ideal day planning lets you make space for a little self-care and meeting your basic human needs each and every day. You get to create guidelines that work for you versus strict and punishing rules that have you starting the day with perfect intentions and ending it disappointed, wondering why you can't get your shit together. When you plan realistically, and include little things that feel caring, the less you need to escape your life with food and booze at every opportunity. Just remember, not every day is ideal, but knowing what you're aiming for will keep you focused and dialed in for whatever life brings. Every single day matters, so let's make as many of them count as possible.
Right. So y'all are going to be on pages 11 through 13. I'm calling up Darlene, who has asked to get coached and work through this worksheet. And here's what we're going to do. So one of the things I wanted to, I'm going to go over my ideal day real quick while Darlene's coming up. This is what my ideal day looks like when I'm at home. And even today, I think I did all of this actually. So my typical wake up time is at 5 a.m. I give myself, I have a rule. So we're talking about like the ideal day. The way that I like, so a couple of people said something really cool. They were like, my choice day. Here's what I want all of you to think about your ideal day. It's not, this is how I perfectly see my life if nothing goes wrong. And then we think that anytime we're not living to that standard, that, well, I must not be able to have the days I want. What I want you to do is I want you to really think about ideal days are about you realizing that you can plan to have much better days than you currently think you do. A lot of us go through life just blaming everything that's going on around us. And we act like if your life is always a catastrophe, your life's not a catastrophe. There's not things always getting in your way. It's you're not anticipating obstacles frequently enough. Like I remember for years, like, well, not years, but the year that Logan was little, when he was a year old before I lost weight, I just said, there's just no way. I don't know when this baby's getting up. I don't know when he's going to take naps. I don't know. Like it was a year of, I don't know. And at the end, it left me with this thought, my life's out of control. There's nothing I can do about it. And that's why I was eating. The eating wasn't because my life was out of control. It was because I sat back every day and just watched it unfold instead of taking small little bits of control back that I did have. If I had thought through each day thinking, there's got to be moments today that I can do something, just like Kylie, there's got to be a way I get back on the plan. I wonder what that is. There's got to be like, can I wake up before him? Like when he goes to bed at night, instead of eating, can I just go to bed to get that rest? I would eat at night pissy because he didn't sleep good. So instead of going to bed to get my sleep, I would lay there and eat ice cream pissed at him. That's why we have to watch how we think. So my ideal day is I like to wake up at 5 a.m. I've always been an early riser. That's not for everybody. I woke up at 4 a.m. when I was in high school, if that says anything. I actually sleep in as an adult. I work out every day. I do something. I either walk for 20 minutes. I do everything up to like today I ran for 30. Some days I lift weights for 45 minutes. Just depends. Yesterday, I was so wore out. I worked so hard the last couple of days that I mentally wore myself out that my body was physically tired. I got up yesterday, I went on my little 20-minute walk, talking to my best friend in Marco Polo, came home, stretched in the floor for 20 minutes. That's all my body could take, and it's all it needed. So I do some movement. I do that usually at 6:30. From 5 until 6:30, I journal, I plan my work day, I plan my food day, I listen to some self-development, or I knock out something in work that needs my undivided attention, that I don't want my team nagging at me. I don't want all the busyness of the day coming at me. So I carve out that little special time. And then I usually start work at around 8 o'clock in the morning. I end my work usually around 3, sometimes 3:30. I don't usually take lunch breaks. I just like, if I do, it's like 10 minutes. I just eat. I get back to work because I know me. I am a piece of shit after 3 o'clock. This brain don't work after 3 o'clock. There's no expecting it to work after 3 o'clock. I'm done fighting with it to try to work after 3 o'clock. So I do a really intentional chunk before I work out. And then I work from about 8 to 3. And then I pack it in. People will not see me doing a bunch of shit after 3 o'clock, hardly ever. If they ever do, it's like, oh my God, like Corinne must have snorted a line of coke because there's no way that she could be functioning at this time of day. And then my end of my day, starting at about 5, from 3 to 5, I just do whatever I want to do. Sometimes I play pinball. We got a pinball machine. I'm not doing anything glorious. And then at 5 o'clock, Chris knocks off because he likes to work a little later than I do. And then we watch TV legit for 3 straight hours. We fire up whatever we've been watching. I am a voracious Netflix watcher. That's our day. It's not complicated. And most days it goes like this. It's not broken down into small details, but it's the overall big picture of what I want for myself. It's like, I want to start work around 8 o'clock and I want it to end around 3 o'clock. And when I wake up until I start work, these are the things I want to get done. And when work's over, this is the way I want it to be. And that's it. All right. Darlene, you get to pick. Do you want to plan an ideal weekday, an ideal weekend day, or do you want to plan an ideal vacation day?
I think an ideal vacation day.
All right. Let me get to my page. And all right. So how do you ideally want to eat when you're on a vacation day?
Okay. My ideal vacation day is also a celebration day because I have a wedding right smack dab in the middle of my upcoming vacation. So ideally I would like to, I know all of the food is vegetarian. So ideally the appetizers, I only want to choose if they look good. I do love vegetables.
All right. Here's a good one for all of you.
Right.
That gives their brains no clarity.
Right.
I mean, a dinner roll from Kroger can look good when you're at a wedding. If you're hot and you're irritated, it's running late or people are nagging at you. So how will you know something looks good?
I think for me, it would be something that looks like something I've never tried. Because I don't want to try something that I know I've had.
Okay. So we're not going to eat things we've had before.
Right.
Is that going to be the guideline? It's like, if I've had it before, I'm not eating it at this wedding.
Exactly. Yes.
Okay. Now I will say technically, just for all of you, she's actually setting up what we call a protocol for just the wedding. This is not an ideal vacation day. Ideal vacation day would be more like on vacation, I sleep into this time. I do or do not work out while I'm on vacation. Like it's more about going through, like, do you take private time when you're on vacation or do you not? Like some people, when they go on family vacations, no private time for them. Me, when I'm on vacation, I got to have at least an hour a day to just Corinne. I won't talk to no fuckers, not even my own people that I love. Like not even Chris. When we go to Vegas, I get up before him and I go to the gym and I don't speak to people. I'm like, no. All right. So you've never ate before. What else about your food on this vacation?
I want to make sure that I'm not eating heavy foods because I'm finding that my body doesn't like when I eat heavy, especially in the evening hours.
So what are heavy foods? Because this is, again, I want you to notice, it's a little loosey-goosey. So this is the for all of you, please make sure you're doing this on your worksheet. If you say no heavy foods, but you've been at a wedding and you're tired and you talk to lots of people, if you got activated or triggered at all, like if you're an introvert and that wore you out, if you have body shame and you were in your head all day about what you must have looked like, if you have a fear of photos and all you know is like you go in, it's like paparazzi time. Everybody's like, Sophie, get in this photo. Oh my God, it's forever, Darlene. And you're just like, oh fuck, I don't like being in pictures. I avoid this all the time. I want you to think about that version of you is now going to dinner thinking, don't forget, no heavy foods. It has no clarity. Your brain's wore out. You're emotionally tired. You're like spent. So unless you're really clear ahead of time, that version of you is going to say like, look, I got to rescue you. We're going to have to eat some heavy foods because it's been a tough day. And it won't sound like that. It'll sound like, this isn't heavy. You won't feel that bad tomorrow, but you deserve it. You were on all day. It was a tough day. Like our brain will do any of that, or it'll be like, bitch, you'll never lose weight. Being in all those pictures should remind you that like you've not been doing it. Like it's either going to be shrill or it's going to be very white, trying to get your ass sexied up for the bedroom. So what are heavy foods to you?
Cream sauces. So no cream sauces, no pastas.
Is it all pasta or just pastas with cream sauce? Because I don't think of pasta as heavy food. Like pasta marinara to me would be light.
When I eat pasta in the evening, it's definitely a heavy food for me.
And why is
my
that?
My husband is Italian, so we do eat pasta quite frequently. And I find that when I do eat pasta in the evening, I can eat it like normally lunches, no problem. But when I eat it in the evening, it doesn't digest as well. It takes longer for my body to digest it. I don't sleep as well at night, that kind of
thing. Okay, that's what I wanted to get at, because it's really important mm-hmm. for you to talk through this, because otherwise, like, here's what I don't want. I don't want people in the peanut gallery then like, why does she not think pasta's okay? Because pasta's fine. But I agree. Like for me, like I don't eat a lot of pasta at night either. Now, lunch, it's great. I have a hard time at night. Like I have to keep my dinners like on the salad side or something. I'm just going to tell y'all right now, is the older I get, I wear an Oura ring, O-U-R-A. It reads my bio physical shit. It'll tell me how well I'm sleeping, how well I'm recovering. If I eat after 5, because I go to sleep at 8 o'clock, the next day it'll say like, oh, Tiger, are you tired? Something kept you up last night, because it affects my sleep, because my body has to work harder the older I get to digest food at night. You know, 20 years ago, it could clear out a half a tub of ice cream with no problem and I'd sleep for 10 hours. Now, you know, I have a little too much food at night and I'm just sluggish for a day or two because of it. So I like to watch that. So that's a very reasonable reason. But so it's not pasta all the time, because I want you to notice, like, no heavy foods. Stuff with cream sauces, we're like saying it doesn't work for me. But pasta in the evenings, not necessarily all day, but pasta in the evenings doesn't work for me. And I like my reasons. I want to feel better more than I want to eat pasta. Anything else in the heavy foods category?
I do like to, in the summertime and when I'm on vacation, I do like to eat more vegetables, things that I don't normally cook for myself at home.
Okay. Oh my God, I have a challenge for you.
Okay.
If you like them, why are you not cooking them at home?
Because my husband doesn't eat them.
Yeah, but
so I feel a lot of times that
your husband pees with his penis. You don't sit there and say, like, I got to stand up and pee because he doesn't sit down.
That's true. That is true.
And let me ask you this. When y'all go out to eat, does he order first? And then you're like, all right, I'll have that.
No. At a restaurant,
don't do it at home either.
Yeah.
Why can't you just like say, hey, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to make a few vegetables and I'm going to have some. Enjoy your pasta.
Yeah, that's true. And it is one of my goals this summer to go to like the, you know, buy more fresh vegetables and try to work so that on the weekends when I have more free times, I can prep them so that when I get home from work, because I work 5 days a week and my commute is an hour long. So I want, by the time I get home, I don't want to do the heavy lifting. And so if I food prep things, maybe that will be easier for me.
I would for sure try that.
Yeah.
I think it will be. I think there's variations of food prep for all of you that have like long commutes and things like that. The first version is like what we do in our house. I actually pay my sister-in-law, who is a wonderful cook. I pay her to cook all of our food, because even though I technically could cook at night, I mean, I'm getting done at 3. It is not how I want to spend my time. It's just not. I did that for many years. And now what I want, I like, when I think about my ideal day, cooking in my kitchen is not part of it. So for a long time, I did all my food prep on Sundays. I mean, I literally made every meal I was going to eat. I made every meal Logan was going to eat. And then I made every meal Chris is going to eat. And I'll just surprise the shit out of you, Darlene. Chris doesn't eat anything like I do and never has. Logan does not eat anything like I do and he never has. And I've never thought I have to change how I eat because of what somebody else puts in their mouth. I just eat what I like. And then I let them enjoy what they like, even if it means we're eating separate things. Eating the same thing Does it make you connected? Does it do anything other than we're eating the exact same food?
Yeah.
So the other option would be, if you want to cook it fresh during the week, is pre-chop, pre-wash, get it all done, store it in glass because it will stay fresher longer than when you get home. Then you just cook it. That's all you have to do, is that part of it. Just try to sit and think about, how can I make this easier on myself? Because the sense that I'm getting for you is, like, in your mind, there is a version of Darlene. Like, the ideal Darlene is, like, she's eating more vegetables because she likes them and she's doing these things and blah, blah, blah. But today's Darlene has a lot of excuses as to why it can't happen. Like, my husband doesn't eat them. And we want to debunk those. Are you coming to No BS Excuses Camp?
Unfortunately, no, not this year.
And not the virtual either?
No.
Okay, that's fine. We're going to talk about it, though, in that camp. But just the short version for you is, I want you to make a list of, why do I think I can't have the life that I want? Just when it's coming to what you put in your mouth. Not anything else. So one of your excuses you've already said is, I work and have a 1-hour commute. Second excuse, well, you know, that husband of mine, he's Italian. That's another excuse. The third excuse is, he doesn't eat vegetables. And that's just three that I can remember with my 48-year-old brain based on the brief conversation we've had. So I will bet you, if you challenge yourself to look for 5 to 6 more, you'll find them. And then I want you to run them through the four ends. Because excuses aren't the truth. They just feel true. But it's equally as true that your husband doesn't eat vegetables. That has nothing to do with if you add vegetables to your dinner. It's equally as true that he doesn't like them. But the ideal version of you enjoys them in the summer. That's just as true. So we want to make sure that we are focusing on not the excuse, that we're focusing on debunking the excuse, so that we can start thinking more about what the other truth is. And for all of you, you'll have excuses that'll come up in your brain all summer long. And the best way to combat body image thoughts, excuses, any of it, is to hear whatever you're saying and find something that's just as true that you also can think in the moment old shitty comes in. Old shitty is just an excuse. It's a reason. It's a thought. It's a body shame. It's whatever. That's not going away, like I was telling Kylie. What we can do, though, is give it less airtime by thinking something that's equally as true, that feels true too. But this truth will get us where we want to go. This, and not combating it with this, keeps us stuck where we are. Okay. What else do you want going on for this vacation? You're going to, so all we've talked about is the wedding. Let's talk about the whole vacation. I'm assuming you're not just going to swoop in a helicopter and swoop out.
No.
Otherwise, you're going to look like a baller when you do it.
No, I wish, but no.
Right, I'm like, I've arrived, bitches.
most of our vacation is going to be a staycation, but that's actually good. I will get to still relax for that. So I want to be able to ideally sleep in as late as my cat will let me, but that's like 7 o'clock in the morning. So ideally I will get up at 7.
So we're sleeping until 7. All right.
Yep. And then I would like to get in at least 20 to 30 minutes of a walk between 8 and 9. So
good. That's nice and specific. Why don't we just say what time we're going to go?
Okay.
What, like, say between 8 o'clock. 8 and 9, when is, like, this is when I'll go, 20 minutes.
Right. I'll say 8 o'clock then.
Okay. 8 a.m., 20 minute walk. Perfect.
And if it's raining, I will go to the gym.
Gym if raining. All right. What else? On your staycation.
And then I'll get home, do a little cleaning around the house, which I don't get to do while I'm at work. So we'll do some cleaning. probably do something with the husband during the day. My plan, I make it in the evenings. So
here's one of the things that I would do. We don't have Jen on this call, but this is one of the best ways to do this, because a lot of times when we're going to do some cleaning, in the moment it's time to do the cleaning, we start thinking about everything that we want to clean. All of a sudden our brain gets overwhelmed with like, oh my God, you got this long list, blah, blah, blah. I would make a list of all the things you would love to get cleaned by the end of the summer or by the end of your staycation. Mm-hmm. Here's the glory list. And then I would, so you make the list. The second thing you do, I'm going to teach y'all, this is a bonus. Seriously, I teach this in my business membership. It's a bonus for all you weight loss people. We're going to start using the decision matrix I use over there with our shit. You make the list. And the best way to stay out of overwhelm and the best way to make sure you get the shit done you want to get shit done is you go and you sort them. So you're going to say like, all right, of all the things on my cleaning list, what would have a high impact on like my life? Like I would walk in and be like, whoa, I love it. Like it would just like blow wind up your skirt. Then you go back and you're like, all right, of the things on there, what's low impact? Like I can do it, but like, I'm not going to notice it. Like I'm not going to be thrilled that I did it or anything like that. Mm-hmm. Then you go through and you mark them with, of these things, what are easy to do? And then of the things that are hard. So you're going to go through the list four times. The best way to do it is to get four different colored markers and then assign like high impact is blue. Look at Corinne. She even has markers for all of you. Low impact is orange. Easy is red. You can pick your colors. Don't be like, what color did she use? Hard is green. Then you make a list of these things. You take, if it's high impact and it's easy, that goes first. We always want to start with the easiest of shit with the best impact. Because if we start with those things, we build momentum and we get more motivated and we're proud of ourselves and confidence starts coming on. We're like, whoa. Then we go through and we look at, all right, one is going to be high impact, but it's going to be harder to do. We do those second because now we feel good about ourselves. Now we have momentum. So it's easier to tackle the harder shit. Then you're going to do low impact and easy. Now, sometimes people reverse this, but sometimes people do low impact, easy before they do hard and high impact. That's fine. Sometimes what people do is they start high impact and harder stuff. If they get to a point where they have to stop, then they go grab a few of these low impact things until they can start again here. So either way, whichever one's going to suit your personality. Guess what we don't do? We never do low impact, hard shit. You know why? It's not worth it. It's just not worth it. You just throw that shit out. That's probably stuff laced in like, I should do that. I should be the kind of person who does that. It's like stuff that somebody else at some point said was important. And now you've put it on your list and it don't even matter to you. So we just drop that shit. This will make cleaning so much easier, but this will help you. All right. Anything else that we need? We're going to clean some shit. We're going to spend some time with our man.
We're going to do some self-development.
When is our self-development time and how often each week?
Each week. I tend to do it daily. So I spend at least an hour a day doing self-development, whether it's reading or listening to podcasts.
And that's real easy for you to get done?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then I don't think you have to get super clear. We typically want to get clear on things that are hard for us to do, okay, or that we negotiate out of or excuse our asses out of. That's the stuff that we really need to get super clear. But if you're already self-development, like, I will get that self-development in. I do not need to chart that those waters. Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Then are there anything like there's two questions on here. In what ways are you already practicing your ideal vacation day? Are you doing any of that now?
I am walking usually about 5 to 7 days a week. So that's perfect. Good. I do my plan pretty much every day, every evening. And then in the morning, I assess it and tweak it if it needs any tweaking. Again, I do my self-development. So that's, you know, pretty much where I am now. So.
Okay. So that's good. And the reason why we ask this question for all of you, it's really important to see that sometimes when we do our ideal day, we realize we're closer than we think. Sometimes when we hear it as a concept, it's like, oh, it's so far away and everything. Then when you get to writing it and you notice, like for you, you have self-development already unlocked. You already have things you're already doing. So we're just building on a foundation. Sometimes we're far away and that's okay, because giving us the plan is helpful. Here, let me put this down. It just says spend time with my man or my partner, y'all. So, but that's why we asked the question. And then is there anything right now that you need to stop doing for your, like to have your ideal staycation days? Is there anything you need to stop doing that will help you get there?
I think one of the things that I want to stop doing is when I do spend time with my husband, he tends to snack a lot.
Okay.
And I feel that when he's snacking, I should snack. And that's something I definitely want to stop. Because I find that I'm not snacking because I'm hungry. I'm snacking to join him because he's snacking.
Can we just coach on this for a minute? Where are we at on time? 10:47. Somebody tell me, do I have time to coach her on why she's got so much story around whatever goes in her husband's mouth goes in hers too? Okay, go ahead is the command from the team. So tell me this. This is coming up for you, and this is probably what's going to really help your weight loss. Why is what your husband eating, like in your mind, I want you to tell me why you think it has anything to do with your food choices.
I think it's because that is how we spend time together, or I envision that's how we spend time together. They're kind of like hand in hand in my head, I think. It's not. Obviously, I've watched him eat snacks and I've not had snacks. And there is that feeling of I'm missing out on something.
That's the thought. What are you missing out? If you don't, like, let's say the two of you are sitting there. And he's decided I'm having a snack because I'm hungry, or I'm having a snack because I just like eating, whatever his reasons are or his reasons. Yeah. And you're going to sit there and he's going to eat and you're not. Your thought is I'm missing out.
Yep. Okay. I'm missing out.
What are you missing out on is the question.
I don't know. I'm missing out on what he's snacking with. I'm missing out on.
No, you're not missing out on what he's snacking with because you're not hungry. There's no missing out because your body doesn't need it.
Yeah.
Because let me ask you this. If you didn't feel like you were missing out, would you want to eat?
No.
Okay. That's why we got to figure out, like, I want you to really think about this. We can't have an I don't know. I want you, even if you have to guess and you're wrong about it. When your husband's eating and you're not, what are you missing out on?
I think maybe I'm missing out on sharing time with him, but
that's not true.
But it's not exactly. It's not true because I'm sharing the time with him. So.
But that's a mental construct you have to remind yourself in that moment of.
Yeah.
Your brain has said the eating is the sharing of the time, not the being together is the sharing of the time.
Yep. Exactly. I just have to keep reminding myself of that.
For sure. 1,001 times.
Yeah.
I used to think that when Chris and I went to the bar, that I would drink with him. My story was, that's how we connect. Like, that's our date night. That's our connection time.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to not be connecting. And I had to really work on this, that I had to figure out, like, so let me ask you this. When you're spending time with your husband, how do you feel if you're eating together?
Well, when I spend time with my husband, I feel happy. Whether or not we're
eating. Like when you're eating?
Yeah. Well, when we're eating, I feel, I don't know. I feel that I need, because when we're done eating, he'll go off on his separate way of, like, after dinner, he'll do his stuff, I'll do my stuff. So maybe the eating is, again, prolonging the time that we're having together.
Okay.
So
how could you prolong the time together without food?
Just tell him that I need him to sit and chat with me instead of him going off and doing his thing.
Have you, what do you think he'll say?
He'd probably be okay with it.
Probably or for sure?
Oh, for sure. He would be okay with it.
Okay. Yeah. This is the reason why I ask it that way, because your brain was already like it was opening the door of, for some reason, that wouldn't be okay.
No, I'm sure he'd be okay with it.
So if you really, like, I want you to think about what you truly want in the situation. You want to feel connected. You want time with him. You want to be happy.
Yeah.
And in your mind, only if I'm eating Oreos and Ding Dongs and pasta is that going to happen. If I don't eat what he's eating, that's not happening. But I'm going to tell you, just because you've been eating those things didn't connect all that. You know, like, tell me, when you're eating with him, your brain is thinking what about the two of you?
If I'm honest, when I'm eating, I don't think that I think about the two of us.
But there's something, like, tell me what your story is right now about it. Like, without, like, the shitty thoughts. Let me give you a couple of hints. Like, I want you to think about, well, here's what I think is probably happening. If you don't eat, your brain thinks, oh, we're not connecting. He's just going to go do his own thing. My time with him's over, which is very womp-womp.
Yeah.
Or when he starts eating and you're not eating, you're thinking, you know, well, this isn't going to last long. We're not, you know, like, if I'm sitting here not eating, we're not having time together, when you're literally having time together.
Right.
Yeah. You're just saying it like an asshole to yourself.
Right. So I have to refocus my thoughts on that.
Yeah. And then if you're eating, what often happens is eating, number one, drowns out those thoughts. Like, you're not thinking about him going off and doing his own thing. You're thinking, we're together.
Yeah.
Here we are doing, like, subtly in your brain is a story of when you're eating. It's like, here we are together. Here we are enjoying ourselves. We're spending time together. I just want you to turn up the volume on those thoughts without eating, because you are spending time together. You'll have to teach yourself how to enjoy that time without food. And eventually, not only will you enjoy the time more because you're focused on him and not what you're eating, but then as your weight loss is happening, because we're not doing this donkey butt eating anymore, you're going to enjoy your whole life outside of it too.
Okay. Yeah.
What are your thoughts?
I have some work to do. definitely need to listen to my brain a lot more than I have been. I thought I had been working on a lot, but there's obviously a lot more work to do.
Yeah. Well, this is the thing for all of you. You can do as much work as you want on your brain. You know when we stop working on our brain?
When we're dead?
Yep. We draw our last breath. We're done working on our brain. Yeah. I've only been doing it 16 years. And I mean, I journaled this morning.
Yeah.
And I've been working on, like, even leveling up my connection time with Chris and not making it so contingent upon, we own a sports bar now. Mm. I'm working on going to our own sports bar and hanging out with him without drinking, because, like, we have to go down there more often now. It's like, I can't be the kind of person who goes to my sports bar. And like, if this is what I didn't want to become, I didn't want to be number one. If anybody's ever watched Bar Rescue, I did not want to be one of those bar owners. But the big thing was, I didn't want, if I kept thinking that connecting with Chris has to do with what we're both doing with our mouths, like drinking and eating, then like owning a restaurant was going to be detrimental for me.
Yeah.
I had to redefine, like, I'm going to go down there and it's going to be several times a week. And there's going to be some days I don't drink and I'm going to get used to it and knowing we're in this together. We're building this restaurant together. This is how we're connecting. It's not because I'm having a glass of wine too.
Mm-hmm.
And that's taken writing and listening. It's always happening, Darlene. So I just wanted to say that because I got this slight hint from you that like, oh, I've got some work to do, as if you missed something. And I want you, all of you, to have this lesson. More work gets revealed because you've been doing the work. You solve some stuff, the next level stuff that doesn't have room to breathe yet, now it comes up. Usually when you're finding more work to do, it's because you're already doing some work, not because you're doing it wrong or you missed something or whatever. That's going to always be the case, especially because you're a self-developer. Self-developers will always have more work because you're always learning something new. You're always setting a new bar for yourself. You're always wanting to evolve and learn. And that means more work presents all the time. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Enjoy the wedding.
Thank you.
I hope you swoop in with your helicopter and it's an amazing sight.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye. Bye.
All right. Why doesn't Corinne have what she eats on her ideal day? Well, I was just going over the ideal day little thingy with y'all. It just has, like, if you look in your guide on page 22, you have some worksheets. I was just going over my ideal day. I plan my food each day, and we're going to get into, let me scroll back. Somewhere here is it's our next lesson. Whoever asked that is a genius, because baseline protocols, that's where I started writing out my protocol stuff. And a protocol is just simply, you decide ahead of time, kind of like, you can think about it any way you want. Some of you get triggered and activated by rules. I love having personal rules. Personal rules are made by me. They are questioned by me. They are founded in love. They are established to help me. I don't think of rules as like, I have to do this. I should be doing this. Throw all that crap away. Personal rules are about creating your own personal compass. So if you want to call it your GPS, if you want to call it how I like to live, my choices, whatever you want to call it, that allows you to come up with a way you want to be, is perfect.